The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, this is a numbers game. Un partido de números, for those listening in Spanish.
I like when we go in Espanol.
Yeah, well, that's for everybody. This show's for everybody is what it is. That's
Kelly Bidlin. Me gusta mucho.
Okay. Let's not recite your seventh grade dialogue. ¿Dónde vas? ¿Tomas? ¿A clase? Great show today. Matt Cox will be here from Three Man Weave. Talk a little college basketball with us. The old baloncesto. Kelly, JVT, our senior NBA analyst, to talk both NBA and Super Bowl 59. This just in. What are we now? 1, 2, 3, 4, 11 days away.
Stop playing that game, man.
Still 11 days away from Super Bowl 59. Kelly's got some golf. How about some Pebble Beach preview a little later on this hour? We will do that as well. And hour number two will be packed with guests as well. You know, Paul Carr on a soccer heater. Jonathan Davis. How about some hockey? How about some midweek hockey?
Let's go.
From Jonathan Davis, VSiN NHL betting analyst. And then Jason Weingart from Under a Cloud of Smoke. Everybody will be around for that. Before we do anything else, though, can we go a little country clubbing with some tennis plays that are still not, that still haven't started?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's a good way to get going on Wednesday morning. Again, imagine being the background actors here. You're not even the main actors in a B-roll shoot.
How much do you think they get paid for that?
It's a great question. Probably $50, something like that.
Better question. You think if one of those old folks right here happened to stumble upon VSiN and saw them, do you think they would call their agent and be like, I'm not getting paid enough money. I need more money.
No, because we're using it properly.
Okay.
We're not technically making any money off of that, so it's okay.
Just a question. So I don't usually bet indoor hards necessarily as much as I do outdoor hard courts in tennis, but when the numbers come up, the numbers come up. And so we had four plays last night, two of which, they were all dogs, by the way, four dogs, two of which already played last night. They split, should have gotten both of them, but a gacking in one of these two matches led to a split, which is still, okay. We have two more that haven't been played yet, and that's where I'm getting to here. So this morning, if you're interested in some tennis, random tennis action in indoor hard courts in Europe, well, this is the place for you.
Where are we in Europe?
We're on the men's side. We're in Linz. On the ladies' side, we're in Linz, Austria.
Ooh.
We're also in Singapore, which is where the matches were last night.
Okay.
And then on the men's side, we're in Montpellier, France.
Very nice. Very nice on the pronunciation.
I don't know if I was doing it right. Here's what's still to come. Rebecca Sramkova, I have, over Anastasia Potapova. Sramkova is probably, you probably get only a few cents worse than what I got it at last night. Again, all these at VSiN.com/picks for subscribers. Every host, every guest, every sport for subscribers. All of our plays at VSiN.com/picks. Rebecca Sramkova at +159 over Anastasia Potapova. That is in Linz, Austria. And then also this morning, and it's sort of like right after we go off the air, sometime after that. In France, Dominic Kepfer, I don't really understand this line at all, and you actually will get it a couple pennies better than mine, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on Dominic Kepfer at +106 over Alexander Bublik, which, prime Bublik, which I didn't think I'd have that phrase this morning.
Prime Bublik.
Prime Bublik, I would never fade him here, but he has been far away from his prime for quite a bit now. So Kepfer at +106, I really don't understand why he's the dog.
Does feel like it's been quite a while since I've seen Bublik on one of our graphics, and he is, you're right, you can get +110 on Kepfer right now.
A few pennies better.
Seen at DraftKings, that's +110 at DraftKings, and then Sramkova +150.
Bublik, most famous for hating anything that's not hardcore tennis. Like he openly, if like he's on clays, like
really?
This is stupid. Like he'll do that.
All right, that's kind of awesome, actually, because I've kind of wondered about that. Like
he's that guy.
Like there's got to be like you always talk about the people that are better on a certain surface, but like you have to be there's got to be a line that gets crossed with how bad you are on some surfaces.
He feels that whoever invented clay court tennis. Now keep in mind, like clay, the origins was to like cover over grass. because the weather, because grass wouldn't work out in some climates. So they like, let's put clay over this. We won't have to worry about it as much. So he's like, whoever came up with that idea is ridiculous. We should never be playing on this surface.
Anyway. I agree with him.
Okay, there you go.
I agree with him.
SRAM, Kova, and Kepfer, if you're interested in some early morning tennis action. Now, the other thing that happens around here, and this has gone all the way back to the Betting Dork podcast and the Beating the Book podcast, which, by the way, Vegas Lifestyle podcast after the show today, 14th annual with Meltzer Like Seltzer, Mark Meltzer, Steve Fezzik, and Bill Krakenberger. How about that?
Wow.
Yeah. Going back to the Betting Dork days, going back to the Beating the Book podcast days, and of course right here on A Numbers Game, we have had a little bit of a cottage industry, a history of really owning Super Bowl halftimes.
Yeah, you have.
Bruno Mars was the most sort of, you know, in sync with, which is to say that not only could we like nail his first song and his last song, but like his hairdo, remember the pompadour one? Mm-hmm. And again, these are low limit offshore things. I think DraftKings started to do first song now, did they?
Oh, wait.
Do I have that right?
I think you're right. They did last year, right?
I think so. Anyway, so legalized sportsbooks starting to drift into this. Katy Perry, we hit that ear very easily. Now, here's the thing, though. As the years have gone on, I must admit, the sort of Waterloo of this was. Do you remember the year that Coldplay did the halftime show?
Waterloo. Yeah, I do. Yeah. Good reference.
Little Napoleon reference for you. The Coldplay one was, I remember saying, okay, Viva La Vida, which is their biggest hit, which is, I will rule the world. No, no, no. You know that.
Yeah,
one.
I'm actually glad you did that because yeah, I don't know any of these names.
If that did, he did in its entirety, it was the first song. But before they sang Viva La Vida, he got on his knee and sang two bars of another Coldplay song, Yellow. And so Yellow got the money. So once that happened, now it's kind of like, okay.
Isn't it kind of a thing?
You can't be as confident. Well, that brings us to Kendrick Lamar, Super Bowl 59, which is what I'm getting to now. Trying to guide folks to a proper bet here on Kendrick Lamar. I have a feeling there is a large possibility of that kind of thing happening. That's what I'm worried about. Now, just to give you a little bit of, you know, the first 2 days this has been out. The first 2 days, this is, by the way, I take this very seriously. For those listening who are like, why is he talking? I take this very seriously. The line movement so far, and again, when we talk about line movement, this isn't Spanky coming in with tens of thousands of dollars moving a football line.
Right, yeah.
This is like a couple dudes putting down $250 on something and probably moves dramatically. But I do think that the first move makes sense. A couple folks went in there and bet on Humble, Kendrick Lamar's 2017 Smash Humble. It's his most streamed song of all time, Kelly. I know you know that. Over 2 billion streams on Humble. Humble now is the favorite at minus 200.
What a great looking graphic from Ryan Beneta.
It's a great graphic. That's all.
It's like he cares more about the halftime show than our glorious golf tournament detail graphics.
I can tell how interested you are by the fact you're like, wow, great.
Sorry,
graphic.
Distracted me. It's a great looking graphic.
So Humble minus 200, that is your current favorite again with 11 days to go. Now, here's the thing. I have a feeling, first of all, if it's going to be that, I'm not going to recommend a bet on that at this point because it could be, but I have a feeling, I'm going to make a safe choice and then I'm going to make a more sort of frisky choice.
Okay.
All right. The safe choice for me is the 2-1, the plus 200 on Not Like Us. Are you familiar with Not Like Us?
No, I do know Humble. I don't know that I know Not Like
Okay.
Us.
Okay. Not Like Us is he has a couple of these. It's one of his Drake diss songs. Are you familiar that Drake and Kendrick Lamar, they have themselves a beef?
Yes.
All right. For those who don't know, it's a big beef between Kendrick Lamar. I think the kids still call it beef, don't they? Kendrick Lamar and Drake. It started, you know, back in the day. I don't know if you care about this, but somehow I know this. Kendrick Lamar was kind of a nobody, and then Drake had him on his tour. He was like opening for Drake. And then, I don't know, like at some point, like I think Drake went off with J. Cole, another rapper, and they're like, hey, like big three, us two and Kendrick Lamar. And Kendrick Lamar is like, big three, what about big me? Because, you know, if you and Matt Brown, let's just use our primetime action partner, if you guys went off and you casually included me in a big three, I'd be like, hey, thanks, guys. That was really considerate of you. But not Kendrick Lamar. He's like, no, it's about me, which is like a rap thing, right? So he wants to be number one. It was always kind of playful. It wasn't really like a hostility thing. But Drake kind of took it that way, and he would throw in little jabs and some of his stuff. Anyway, it escalated, and here we are. And now Kendrick Lamar has like two songs with over a billion streams that are just murdering Drake. Verbally speaking, and Not Like Us is the banger of the two. Euphoria is the other one. Now, Euphoria which is way well down on the list at like 33-1. This is what I'm worried about. I'm worried about that he could play a couple bars of the slow jam and Euphoria with Teddy Pendergrass, by the way, the sample, and then go to Not Like Us. But the safe play is Not Like Us. You're familiar with that? Dun, 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 dun.
No. No, I'll have to look it up during the break.
Okay. That's the one where the scathing line is trying to strike a chord and it's probably a minor and he lets it marinate. Anyway, because Drake, never mind. You don't need to know that. So Not Like Us is the safe play, I think, at 2-1 at +200. But I would take a flyer on a couple long shots. The Euphoria scenario, which I just mentioned, which he could play right before that as a first song. I don't know. The other
33-1.
More than that, though, the Frisky play, Not Like Us is a safe one. I think the Frisky play could be Swimming Pools, which is at 7-1. And the reason I say that one is you're probably familiar with Swimming Pools just by he'd be like Kelly drank Bidlin. Drank. Do you know that song? Blade. Drank.
Yeah.
Right? Blade. That's it. Yeah. So that would be, I think, the friskier play is Swimming Pools at 7-1, but Not Like Us at 2-1, I think, is the safe play. That is your first song, Super Bowl halftime show analysis.
Love it. Love it. I think you rightfully so pointed out the possibility of starting with one and very quickly transitioning to another. I would be worried about that as well.
Yeah. We talking about halftime.
Because it just doesn't naturally feel like that's easier to do too with hip-hop music like this. Like, you can start with one and then easily transition. Like,
we talk about halftime. Not the game. We talk about halftime. We will talk about the game, though. Super Bowl 59 with Jonathan Von Tobel. He's on the other side. And then stay tuned tomorrow when I break down the Justin Baldoni, Blake Lively beef. That'll be... We'll open the show with that tomorrow. JVT next. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
They not like us. They not like us. Oh, sorry. Ready to elevate your barbecue game? You need Sewell's Barbecue Sauce, the ultimate crowd pleaser for your next cookout. What started as a backyard recipe in a mason jar has grown into a southern sensation, winning over taste buds from Georgia to the Carolinas. Whether you're basting smoky ribs, saucing up tender wings, or crafting the perfect burger. Wow, the verbs. Sewell's Barbecue Sauce brings bold, unforgettable flavor to every bite. Order yours today at sewellsbarbecuesauce.com. That's SewellsBBQSauce.com. Sewell's Barbecue Sauce, because great barbecue starts with great sauce. Makes sense to me. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback from everybody. This is Ice Cold Gambler, who says, do either of you guys know the reason why the NFL makes us wait until 3 days before the Super Bowl for the awards to be announced? Seems like this weekend would be a more ideal time. Jason, Ice Cold Gambler, I said the same thing last week, and I was quickly reprimanded by somebody who said, obviously, Gil, the reason they wait till next week is to get as many people in to well, he didn't say it this way, but I've finessed it a little bit, is to get as many of the potential winners to New Orleans as possible for the game itself, or for the spectacle that is Super Bowl week, so they can announce them with those guys present.
I guess that kind of makes sense, but that would be more the reason behind, like, how did they decide when to put the award show, right? That would be the reason
cozy it up to the Super Bowl as close as possible, I guess is what they're saying. Duck fan for life, Oregon guy 71. The only thing more impressive than Wes Reynolds' golf betting run is Gil's pronunciation of tennis players and venues. Thank you very much. Russell Smith, just an FYI, your four tennis picks are not on the VSiN Pro page. Thanks for the two picks this morning. Is that true? This is always a thing. You usually have to click on my name and then they'll appear. We have to check on that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Andre's getting them in right now.
We'll check on that. Jason H11. The heck with the halftime show. I'm going country clubbing. Hit it. Thank you. Bruce Dobigan. Kelly riffing on the graphic while Gil manfully struggles to talk Kendrick Lamar is peak a numbers game. Inquiring minds want to know, in one word, describe the color of Fezzik's hair. That was random.
Brown.
I don't know about that. Bobby Knuckles. This has to be the hippest segment of a numbers game like ever. Mills on deck. Amazing breakdown on the Kendrick Lamar versus Drake beef. Thank you. You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Gil, breaking down the Kendrick and Drake beef might be an all-time ANG moment. Fantastic, my man. Thank you.
That was very well done. Oh, because I remembered it like a little bit, but you really gave the full explanation. Now I remember it fully.
Well, no, I really meant the part about like the Jake. And by the way, J. Cole was like, this is stupid. I'm leaving this beef, right? Because like, J. Cole's too smart for that. But literally, if you and Matt Brown were like, you know, Matt, you and me are the best. You know what? No.
you, me, and Gil are the big three. I'd be like, hey, thanks, guys. That's great. Really appreciate it. Not Kendrick.
You think you could lead with a diss track, though?
Well, so here's the thing. Drake is suing him for this. I
feel like that lawsuit would only get more complicated than if you played it at a Super Bowl halftime show.
It's a banger.
That's interesting. I think that's something to keep in mind when betting this.
That's a good point. Joe C 714. Thank you for the shirt, Joe C. Oh, Joe C with the gifts. This is why Gil is the This is why Gil is the something. Talking about Kendrick Lamar on a gambling show. Kelly just lost all his cool points with me. A minor. Joe C.
Yeah.
Says he lost you all your cool points. Thank you, Joe C. Rick Olier. Hello, Jets Aaron Rodgers. Let me introduce you to current day hip hop Gil. Don't worry, Gil. I'm only in my mid 30s, and even I'm like, oh, that guy? Who? Chiefs, money line. Let's go. I don't think I understood that one.
The tough part with these is, like, you know the songs. This is where, like, Gil has to sing them for me because you know the songs. I don't know the dang titles, though.
Yeah. Numbers, guys. I couldn't find your tennis picks this morning, but they're there now. So let's go clubbing. Looking forward to Kelly letting us back in later in the show. Matsuyama for the win. And Stringfellow Hawk, I like the opening melody angle. How much not like us can he do? It's not radio friendly. Also, what is Kelly listening to? He's less than helpful on this front. JBT joins us. He's very helpful. He is our senior NBA analyst, but he knows himself some Kendrick Lamar. Joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at @MeJBT. What say you, Jonathan Von Tobel?
So I saw the list. First off, if you're putting money on Money Trees to open the Super Bowl, I'll book it for you. I don't think there's any shot that Money Trees is going to be the opening track. But I will say this. I think All the Stars is a sneaky one to potentially open up with. We know that Sis is going to be there. She's on that track. It is a mainstream song that was part of the Black Panther soundtrack, if you remember the movie, the MCU movie. So I think that probably hits a lot of people right in the right spot, right where a lot of people are familiar with it. I also am kind of surprised. I feel like King Kunta is probably a little bit more popular and has a pretty nifty riff to start and could be a pretty good opener for Kendrick as well.
21. I was
King Kunta?
Yeah.
Okay. Is All the Stars listed?
All the Stars is not.
So that's the other problem?
No, yeah, yeah. 66 yeah. to 1.
There is a bigger possibility of something not listed playing first than there is for any other artist, I think.
Because he does feature on a lot of stuff. And you want a real wild card? You want a real wild card. Are you ready for this?
Taylor Swift, Bad Blood?
Yes.
How did I guess?
Yep. I mean, you see it, right? Because he made that song sucks. Like, the Taylor Swift version sucks. And so if you're going to put Kendrick on that and then have his version to go, Chiefs are in the Super Bowl. We'll see. But I definitely think that All the Stars is a sneaky good to find its way, maybe closer to the top with SZA actually performing.
So that's your bet? All the Stars? That's your...
Yeah.
Like, okay.
I don't know if I've caught this fine print before on these, Gil. Any wager placed after this becomes public knowledge will be credited as no action.
Yeah, so what that is, you know, they figure out the Friday night before the Super Bowl, they usually have the first rehearsal. And so the word gets out.
Right.
So if you're placing your bet, all of a sudden, if there's an onslaught of the correct answer Saturday morning, these jokers will refund them all. Yeah. If I can call them. Am I allowed to call them jokers? I believe so.
Yes.
I think I just did. Okay, I want to crescendo to Super Bowl 59, NBA tonight. Before we get your pick, I just want to ask you about when we're talking about, well, first of all, let me just go broadly. The Spurs and the Pacers were in Paris. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
So they have had 4 days off, but they had to come back from Paris. Do you bet unders when it comes to those two teams now after that travel?
I mean, I don't think so, because if you remember, so it was after Milwaukee had their game postponed against New Orleans, right? And NBA media were kind of painting the Milwaukee Bucks as like some, oh my God, how could you go through this? This is terrible, the situation. And Giannis had this great quote. He's like, look, we all have our own seats on a plane. Like, it's all kind of nice. Like, we're not really going through a ton. I don't think it's that bad to make that trip. They give them adequate rest. And if you remember last year, a team like Cleveland actually went out to Paris, played those games, and that started their run where they were actually ripping off wins left and right. So I don't think it's that arduous of a deal to come back and make those trips.
Excellent use of arduous as well, by the way. Spurs and Pacers both back in action tonight. Pacers hosting the Pistons, their favorites. Spurs dogs at home against the Clippers. What did you land on tonight?
So I got two so far. I did bet the Minnesota Timberwolves here against the Phoenix Suns. We've seen this flip. They're small road favorites. Kevin Durant on the injury report with a thumb injury. We'll see if he ends up playing or not. But if you look at the last 2 weeks for Minnesota, they've been playing some pretty good basketball. Straight up wise, only 4-3. But if you're looking at net rating, they're seventh best in the NBA. They've outscored opponents by about 7.5 points every 100 possessions. Defense have been playing pretty well. They've been covering games by nearly 6 points per game. This team's really rounding into form, especially defensively, and their offense is starting to get better. And we've seen that Phoenix has not been playing particularly well on defense. And we know, I think, that games like this kind of bring the best out of guys like Anthony Edwards and the Timberwolves. Only injury for them is Dante DiVincenzo. Think they're in a good spot there to get that win over a Suns team that might not have Kevin Durant here tonight. And the other, we'll give our boy Scott Seidenberg some credit on this one. The Boston Celtics guys, after a straight up loss, have been a relatively solid team, especially on defense. If you look back on what they've been able to do here, I think they're floating around 11-3. Teams facing Boston after a straight up loss are now, I think, 11-3 to the under on their team total here. Chicago's not going to have Zach LaVine. We'll see if Coby White finds his way out there. He is questionable to play, but Bulls under 108.5 on the team total, the other bet that I have tonight. So Timberwolves minus 1.5, Bulls under 107.5 team total.
All right, and a shout-out to Scotty Seidenberg on that as well. All right, Super Bowl 59. Who you taking? Are you making an MVP bet? Are you making a prop bet? What are you doing?
Yeah, so I have a couple of bets already that I've made. I did take Philadelphia money line. My thought, I think that this is going to head toward Philly at some point, sooner rather than later. So I think that taking plus 110, my logic here is that this is going to shrink by the time we get to kickoff. I think that there's a shot that this gets to pick. Maybe Philly minus one. We'll see. I think Philadelphia is the better team, but I also think that the Chiefs deserve to be favored because of the non-data point, which is they just win every single playoff game imaginable. And at some point, you have to give them respect for what they've been able to achieve. But I think on paper, if I were to ask you in a vacuum, like, hey, just evaluate these rosters, remove the thought that this team has won every single playoff game they've ever played in, essentially, and tell me which one would be favored on a neutral, I think most would say it's Philly. So I have Philly, the money line, plus 110. I also added something interesting yesterday. BetMGM has will, you know, either team, right? So Chiefs or Eagles for both of them. Will they convert a fourth down? The yes on Philly is minus 1,000.
Wow.
To convert a fourth down.
Wow.
And I think obviously the tush push is involved there, right? Like they think, well, you have to have a short yardage situation in order for that to happen. I thought plus 550 on the no was worth playing. I thought that was pretty high. So I took no on Philly to convert, to not convert a fourth down at plus 550 yesterday.
I don't hate that at all. I totally get,
I love it.
I totally get why it's priced that way for exactly how, the reasons you state, but plus 550 worth a flyer. Absolutely. Yeah. Sometimes we do get a little out of control with these, but it's they have to get in that situation first for it to be properly priced.
And by the way, real quick, you saw the tush push get turned away, right? That's why they were playing the games with your Commanders, right? Trying to get them to jump off sides and get closer. They turned it away twice.
Frankie Louvu going all Superman. No, they turned it away twice. They did. Absolutely did. It is not infallible. It is not infallible. John, appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
Good to talk to you guys. Thank you.
Jonathan Montobel chiming in on Kendrick Lamar's first song at halftime as well.
Let's go.
Didn't see that coming.
He was definitely the better person to talk to about that.
Matty Cox coming up. Maybe he's got a thought. And College Hoops next.
The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. This is my buddy Kelly Bidlin, everybody, hanging out. Producer number nine, so much more than a producer. Still to come this hour, Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke, giving us all his plays. Jonathan Davis on hockey. Maybe we should require a Super Bowl thought from everybody, regardless of your sport.
Oh, I think that's fair.
Jonathan Davis, hockey, but what's your Super Bowl 59 thought? Paul Carr coming up on soccer, but what's your Super Bowl 59 thought?
I think that's fair for that we ask every guest from now until kickoff.
And every guest should give us a Kendrick Lamar choice as well. No, not that part?
Yeah.
That's right. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Corey Henderson, 775. He says, after Kendrick Lamar sings that song in the cool Mo D voice, 3 days later, go see the lawyer. Yeah, but apparently Drake dropped the lawsuit, so he won't have to see the lawyer, is what we're told. DJ Jams. Jam. He is disagreeing with Jonathan Montobel about the halftime show. He says, all the stars will be played in the middle of the show when they bring SZA out on stage. Definitely not the first song played. Oh, and I think they'll play Not Like Us at least three times. Maybe only for 10 seconds each, but it's going down. Oh, I completely agree. Not Like Us, it's absolutely being played. I think it's worth a bet first, but it could be the last song played as well.
instead, maybe, but it's going to have a prominent place in the show. You cannot avoid it. Kelly's nodding. Okay. He's like, yeah. Uh-huh. The numbers, guys, regarding Fezzik and his robotic mind, my uncle responding to my aunt's question of why won't you answer your phone? This phone's for outgoing calls only. Yeah, that's kind of it. James Sott. Thanks, Kelly, because when country club and music starts, I got to get up and dance in my Apple Watch. Thanks for standing up.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, we're just trying to make America healthier.
That's what we're doing.
That's right.
That's what country clubbing's all about. Tennis, golf, that's secondary.
You know what? More than America, Gil, because I think you could watch YouTube TV anywhere.
That's true.
You can definitely go to VSiN.com anywhere.
And we certainly know that Canada, we are Ontario. We are large in Ontario.
Big stars in Regina.
Love you, Toronto. what you know about Regina?
Saskatchewan, man. Rough Riders.
Okay. I thought you were like getting naming streets in Toronto. Like, I'll meet you on the corner of Spadina and something else.
You didn't remember our Saskatoon Regina conversation from last week?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And by the way, he did begin that with an R. He did.
That was a great tweet.
ladies and gentlemen, let's talk some soccer with a man who just moves the chains every time he's on the show, quietly comes on. He's like, oh, here's three soccer picks. You guys might enjoy these. It's Paul Carr, everybody, from True Media Sports. And, of course, the host of the Expected Value podcast. He joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. By the way, I never mentioned it, but his Twitter is Paul Carr, cleverly, C-A-R-R, which is awesome to be able to just grab your name on Twitter. And of course, he has the Ringer. For every once in a while now, you're doing a Ringer gambling thing. Is it regular or is it only at big events?
Pretty much every Monday night, we record a Ringer soccer show.
Every Monday night. Okay.
Yeah. So we put our Champions League big preview up Monday night, Tuesday morning. So you want the long form version of these thoughts and some other picks, then you can tune in there.
There you go.
It's a great pod, Gil.
You love it.
I think I brought it up last time. For the soccer hardos, man, all I know is above my head, but it was a great conversation.
The thing about Paul is so polite that I'm on here. I'm always talking about True Media Networks. I'm always talking about the Expected Value podcast, but I rarely bring up the fact that he's doing this Ringer soccer gambling podcast. And that's on me, man. That's on me every week. Check it
out.
That's
all right.
Speaking of the Champions League, which I don't know if I've spoke of before, but let me just say, speaking of, can you explain the format? Let's just start there for the average American sports fan.
And I know we do this a lot, but it's even more important this year because they've changed the format of the tournament. Again, it's basically like playing the NCAA tournament at the same time as the regular season, where all these clubs are from different countries and leagues in Europe and you take the top few and throw them into Champions League. Historically, last 20 plus years, there have been 32 teams. 8 groups of 4, you play the group stage in the, you know, September through December, and you're in the knockout stage in February. This year, they expanded to 36 teams in one big group. Oh. They call it the league phase. So today, we are getting 18 simultaneous games.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And trying to track who's where in the standings. Like, I might just stare at a live standings table all day.
Rather than watch an actual game.
Yeah, watch the team little, you know, up, down.
Paul, are they doing that? What's like the Red Zone ripoff show they do?
Yeah.
Goal Zone?
CBS has Paramount or CBS has Golazo show, they call it.
Golazo.
That's the one to check out.
They basically run through all of them. Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be easier than trying to find games that matter.
So this is a monster than Global Soccer Day right here.
I think so. They've never done it like this before, so we'll see. But what's at stake? So again, 36 team table or standings. The top 8 we'll get a bye to the round of 16. And I believe only 2 have clinched a top 8 spot. So technically, there's 6 up for grabs. If you finish between 9th and 24th, then you advance to essentially the round of 32, or the playoff round. And then the bottom 8 are eliminated. So there's really not much difference between 9th and 24th. I mean, there's seeding things, but I don't think anyone's going to worry about those too much. But if you can get in the top 8, you get a bye. You know, it's essentially the one seed in the NFL, which is obviously huge. So that's where it could get wild with some teams trying to get in that top 8. And goal difference is your first tiebreaker. So,
oh man,
there's going to be some weird lines out there because teams are so incentivized to win by a lot of goals today.
Okay, so this creates all kinds of different layers of handicapping then.
Yep.
This is pretty interesting. By the way, Liverpool remains the short shot to win the Champions League at plus 450. Right. Real Madrid and Arsenal both at 6-1, followed closely by Barcelona at plus 650. Bayern Munich, the only other one in single digits. You think that's all properly priced, by the way?
Yeah, it's about right. And, okay. And Liverpool is a good example of weird price today because they've clinched top 2. They're going to advance. They're playing PSV, And normally Liverpool would be a decent favorite here, but PSV on the three-way is favored at plus 125 or so because they technically haven't advanced and they even have an outside shot at top eight, but realistically they're just trying to get through. So a win's pretty important for PSV and Liverpool. You know, we haven't seen lineups obviously, but I wouldn't expect they would play all their starters in this one.
PSV Eindhoven out of the Netherlands.
That's right, Kelly.
Wow.
As you know,
this guy, you can go home. You're done.
Yeah, thank
you're
you. Done for you the keep day. Your you're Kendrick off. Lamar, right? You bring me in for European soccer.
You've done all you could do. It's awesome. There's also, you were also mentioning off air, and I guess you do have a play in this. So let's start with this, that when it comes to Stuttgart and PSG, that they are incentivized for.
Mostly to both of them to draw in a way. So they're in 24th and 22nd place. And again, the top 24 advance, either goes through with a win. PSG definitively goes through with a draw. Stuttgart may go through with a draw. They do need some other results to go their way. So there's a world where they kick around the ball for the last half hour of this game or something. We saw this at Euros last year.
Yeah,
I think it was Romania-Slovakia where a draw would send them both through and they both scored in like the first half hour. And then it was kind of like, we're good. So it's not for sure that they would do this, but the draw price is plus 130 or so.
Wow. Which is a super low.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
You're rarely below plus 200 and usually close to plus 300.
Okay. But you still went over 2.5 on this.
I can't, like, this would normally be priced over 2.5 would be at least minus 200 or so. Your default over underline would be 3.5 for this game. I just don't, I'm not totally convinced that they'll kick it around at least the first half or so. PSG, very potent offense. Stuttgart, not a super stringent defense. So I think we get some goals early. PSG, I could get through with a loss, but probably not. I just think, 2-2 very in play, 2-1, if they just decide they're not going to bother. Because again, if Stuttgart wins, they're definitively through. So they have some incentive to, you win, you don't have to worry about anything else. PSG, again, probably through with a draw. But I just think that price, that even money over 2.5 is just too juicy, or not juicy in this case, to pass up.
Okay. You were also mentioning off air Bayern is like a minus a million against Slovan Bratislava as well.
Slovan Bratislava is eliminated. Bayern has to win by a lot and probably get a lot of help to get top eight, but there's a chance. So their line, I've seen it as high as like minus 30,000 to win this game. It was off the board a good chunk of yesterday. Just some wild stuff. The default spread was like minus 4.5 in this one. So some wild lines as a result of the incentives here.
Okay. Back to the official picks, though. Stuttgart, PSG, over 2.5 goals at even money for Paul. Then you like an upset here. Or no, not an upset. You're taking the goal line here. I see. Okay.
I've been fading Man City all year fairly successfully. Club Brugge, +1.5. Now, I played this yesterday at plus 170. This morning, I saw it like plus 135-ish, which I can't really recommend below plus 150. But Bruges has often been a Champions League doormat, not as much this year. They beat Aston Villa. They beat Sporting. They've been competitive against Juventus, AC Milan. In a game, they lost 3-1, but had a red card. Even Dortmund, they lost 3-0, but it wasn't that much of a rout. So Club Brugge, they need a draw to go through. They would obviously go through with a win as well. And they could even get through with a one-goal loss, depending on how the games go. Manchester City has to win, so they're obviously incentivized to go for it as they can. But yeah, this could easily be a Man City 2-1 type of game, and they could both shut it down in the last 20 minutes because City would have to win and Bruges might be through with a one-goal loss. So I like +1.5 at plus money, and I think that's why the price has dropped so much in the last 24 hours.
All right, and then also over 3.5 goals in the Barcelona-Atalanta game.
I have some very sophisticated analysis here. It is, did you see the Benfica-Barcelona game last week?
Yes, we did, Paul.
We did. We did.
That's pretty much it. Barcelona doesn't have much to play for. They've clinched the top eight spot, but Atalanta is in seventh and probably has to win to stay in the top eight. So Barcelona, again, maybe the best attack in the world, terrible defense. Atalanta is more an open team as well. They got a couple injuries that are out, but it shouldn't matter because I think they're going to go for it. So there's just going to be goals here one way or the other. Doesn't really matter who Barcelona starts if they decide to rest people. They've got enough attacking talent on the bench to still put in a couple goals. So over 3.5 minus 120.
So where should we ladder up to, Paul? About 6.5 today? This
right.
week?
We can find like over 8.5 at plus 6,500. That sounds good, yeah.
Stuttgart PSG 2-2. Final score is 12-1.
Super Bowl 59. Who you got, Paul?
Don't hit it. Chiefs. I'm in Kansas. If I don't pick the Chiefs, then they kick me out.
Is that how that works?
It's a state law.
Wow, I didn't know that. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. Enjoy the games today. Full day of soccer. The Champions League. How about some hockey with Jonathan Davis? That's on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.